Well, the title of our message is a continuity or continuance from what we're doing here, which is a season of prayer and fasting. We call the season one prayer. And if you looked at our marquee, there's this many voices, but one prayer. We're not just praying randomly. We're all focusing in on what God is doing. Not only that, we're fasting. You know, we're going all out after God. You know, and as Pastor Karen was saying, if you haven't joined us in our prayer and fasting season, I recommend it. You know what? We apply grace to everything. You know, if you're like, don't be condemned if you forgot a day or missed the day. Just focus on God. Give it all, you know, that you have for Him. Amen? And join us if you want to just skip one meal, two meals, entire days. If you want to do a dry fast, it's between you and God. Our prayer and fasting guide provides a lot of information on that for you to use as you go along. All right, so the title of our message is One Prayer, Expedited Delivery. And I'm going to talk about why is this expedited delivery. I really believe that God is saying it's the season of now. Is the season of not someday, but the season of same day. All right, God is going to be answering prayers, you know, in unprecedented ways in 2018. I really believe that things that you've been praying for, so this is your day. But today's prayer is specifically about the lost. And also, it's about prodigals. It's about dry bones. It's about people that are just been struggling, you know, but this is the day. This is the season, okay? So I want to talk about bringing back the captivity. And in the first verse that the Lord brought up to me, I don't know why this popped into my head. First of all, Matthew chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. I really believe it was God-inspired. And this is what it says. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Matthew was saying that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy where Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus and to do so ordered that every boy 2 years old and under in the vicinity of Bethlehem be killed. We know that Jesus was spared as an angel showed them to flee to Egypt. They stayed there until Herod died. But Matthew was also quoting from what the prophet Jeremiah had written hundreds of years before. He was writing in reference to all the sons of Judah who were killed, and thousands also had been taken in captivity to Babylon. So Rachel, you know, their ancestor, weeping for her children being in captivity. I really believe that there's been a lot of crying, a lot of weeping. I've been spending some time with many of you, and I believe there's a big cry in our heart for our lost sons and daughters, for the people that are just breaking our hearts when we see them away from the Lord. Some of them may have been in the church before. Many of them, you know, walked away. We're seeing the trends. Some people say 80%, 90% of high schoolers leave after they get to the college age. You know, they walk away from the church. Yes, many do return later on, but we're praying that they don't return later, but sooner. You know, that they don't just, like we said, they don't just survive, but that they thrive. You know, that they're fully in what God is doing in their lives. You know, and I can tell you that as a youth leader and youth pastor, I've also seen many young people walk away from the Lord, and it has broken my heart. I have also wept and interceded for many of them over the years. I have not given up hope. If there's one thing I want to tell you today, do not give up hope. If they just barely made it into heaven, you know, Pastor Joseph and I were talking about it this week. You know, in Spanish we say with the belly flop. You know, the panzazo, you know, just a sliding safe into home. But they just barely made it into heaven. Wouldn't it be worth it to pray the rest of your life for them? To keep an open door, to love on them however the Lord would use us. But I believe that God is going to answer prayers soon. You know, we're going to see many miracles in people's lives. Just yesterday, I was talking to my sister and to try to find someone in Tucson who could reach out to the son of a family member who lived in central Mexico. But now, this young man was in the army, and he ended up in Tucson going to school. But he got depressed. You know, he was hit by depression, and they were trying to contact him by phone, and they couldn't reach him. And so... You know, they began to say, hey, can somebody that you know in Tucson go to this place and see what if he's okay, you know, can you go, you know, and so we're trying to call people. I finally got a hold of John Wagoner, you know, who is a campus minister at U of A and say, hey, this guy's a student up there. I'm not sure if he's a student at Pima or U of A, but can you go out and see if he's okay? And he says, hey, I tried reaching him, you know, and later on we got word, oh, wait, they've already grabbed them. They took him to a crisis center. So I said, hey, he's at this crisis center. He's like, I looked it up, and there's a bunch of them in Tucson. Which one is he at? So we're going back and forth with people over the phone and text and try to, you know, get in touch for, trying to get in touch with this young man. And so finally we find out which one he was at. John went over there or called him or something, and he said, no, you can't see him because you're not family. And it's like, and he's in an area where you can't see him. And so all day has just transpired as I'm trying to prepare this message. And I was like, Lord, how much do we have to do to reach out to someone? How much work, you know? And I don't know why God would do that. Sometimes he will send somebody across the world to go knock on the door of your son and your daughter, your relative, your loved one, your friend that God is trying to reach to. God answers prayer in mysterious way. And that's what we're in, a season of prayer, of fasting, of focusing on the Lord. It might not be you, it might not be me, but the Lord will use somebody to speak to them wherever they are at. Amen. Amen. So we're still working the situation with this young man. You know, but we're believing that God is going to, you know, touch him. And John has been very, he doesn't know him. You know, he's like, hey, I'm in a prayer meeting. I'm busy with this. You know, but he said, yes, Eric, I'll do whatever you need. I'll go. You know, he never said no. And I appreciate him for that. So anyway, I just wanted to give you a quick testimony. My brother was a very rebellious young man, you know, in high school. But you see him today. You know, one day the Lord touched him, and now he's a pastor and he's doing great things. You know, this weekend he's even up in San Antonio looking to, you know, plant a church. You know, so yes, the Lord is using him, you know, mightily. So just know that God has a plan for that person that you're praying for. So I believe that this is the year of the returning prodigals. You know, that you would say, but God, but God. So let's hear the heart of God. And to do that, we need to know the heart of the Father. We're going to go to Luke chapter 15. You're all very familiar with this scripture. It's the parable of the prodigal son. I'm going to read quickly through it because you know it, but I want to get to, you know, some highlights that I'm going to talk about afterwards. And it says there, it's verses, did I say 1 to 24? Can you jump to verse 11? I'm sorry, I this is a typo. It's verse 11, if you could just skip ahead. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will sit out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. I just want to point out some highlights here. The purpose of this scripture was to reveal who the father was. The heart of the Father. All of us, including me, we all have a slightly distorted view of our Father in heaven. The problem with this is that as we explore earlier in the year, if you remember, our true identity is founded in His. If you don't know who He is, you will not know who you are and what you're here on earth to do. You need to know the Father and His heart, what He's like. Look at what John chapter 14, verses 6 through 8 says. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So one of the purposes of Jesus coming to earth was to show us who the Father was. Because he is the invisible God. Because we can't see him. You know, we all have that distorted view of him. Some of us think that he's an angry God. That he's disappointed in us. You know, that he's given up on us. That he's, you know, an old man. That he's the man upstairs. And all those other cliches that we hear in society. But one of the primordial purposes of Jesus is to reveal us the Father. Amen. So Jesus is saying, you're not understanding that the Father loves his children and is waiting for them. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He's saying, how am I to you? How am I to you? Did you look for me or did I select you? Do I not lovingly teach you and rebuke you? Am I not interested in your life? Don't I go where the sinners are? Don't I heal everyone that comes to me? Don't I push away the proud religious one and accept the broken ones? This is my Father, and this is your Father, and this is who you come from. So he gave him this parable. Here's a son who had this amazing inheritance. And prodigal, by the way, means wasteful. But one day he decided that it wasn't enough to live with a father. He says, I got to go and live for myself. As many of our young people feel, I got to go and just chart my own way, blaze my own trail. Almost as saying, you've been holding me back. The same lie was there at the Garden of Eden. I know that God said, if you eat from this, you will not die, said the serpent, right? But you should, because if you do, you will be like God. You will know good and evil. So here go our sons and daughters thinking that the Father is holding them back. If God lost his children, if Jesus lost many of his disciples and one of the 12, and one of his 12, it is possible that we may lose our own children. So I just want to say that to you, for those of you that are maybe having some heartache and maybe you feel guilt and shame or regret, say, you know, I wish I'd done this, I wish I'd done that, what could have been a better father? Hey, even Jesus lost a disciple. Even the father, you know, had some rebellious children. So it's okay. It's okay. God can use it all. God works all things for good. But I would say, hey, none of us are perfect. Like I said, I made many mistakes as a youth leader, but I am here. I'm not giving up. We have to continue to fight for them. So the father let him go because he's a God of grace. He said, go try your luck. But it says that he wasted all of his inheritance in wild living. Now that can be many things. But it says that one day he looked up to heaven and said, I'm done. You know, my mother one day looked up from a toilet after getting drunk where she was puking after a New Year's party. You know, this is after marriage. They went to a party, and there the Lord spoke to her and said, this is it. And she gave her life to the Lord right there. Wow. Yes. And I'm here, you know, because of that. God used that in our family. She was the first of our family to get saved. You know, and she had grown up in an Assemblies of God church, but she rebelled against it all. She walked away. She didn't like what she had seen, and, you know, but the Lord used it all. Amen? The other day, my brother-in-law called, and he was talking to my mother-in-law, you know, and he felt that something was choking him at night, like there was a presence of something. And this is a young man who knows the gospel, whom we have been trying to reach out to for a long time. And he got very scared. And so my mother-in-law said, hey, can you speak with him? And the Lord gave me all the words to say and gave me a boldness. And I, you know, first of all, I told him, you know, about curses. I talked about, you know, how the enemy works. you know, we pray the prayer of salvation. I led him in prayers of repentance and of breaking of, you know, bondage and curses in his life. You know, and we're starting to see some fruit after that. The next day he said, "Oh, man, I slept very well. Thank you." You know, we heard then he went and apologized to his wife and his children. He's been having problems in his marriage and with his children. He, you know, they've been separated and, you know, going through all kinds of things. You know, so we're starting to see some fruit. You know, I just want to say that sometimes people have to hit rock bottom. Sometimes people just have to come to a place where they have to look up and say, "You know what, God? You know, I'm done trying things my way. I'm done trying things my way." But I want to say that this is the year of the prodigal. I believe this is the year of the dry bones. Hallelujah. So the father in this story says that while he was still far off, he saw him. And it says that he ran out to him and threw his arms around him. And he's saying, "That is God the Father. That is God the Father. He's coming after you. He's running to you. Think that you have to run to him, but he's running to you in your problem. Even before you even decided, you know, he was already running to you, you know, your way. He's already making set up the circumstances so that you will repent, so you will come to that place, you know, where you cling to him finally." So the son had rehearsed the speech. He said, "Okay, this is what I'm going to tell him when I get there. Oh, I've sinned against, you know, heaven, and I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your son, so I just want to be a servant in your house. You don't need to give me anything. You know, I can just live over there in the back house. You know, I don't need anything." But Jesus once again saying, no, let me show you what the Father is like. What is the Father like? He said, no. The Father didn't listen. He moved right along. No, you're not going to be a servant. You are a son. And for some of you, you are a daughter. So it says that he gave him new clothes, which represent right standing of righteousness. He gave him a new ring, which represents authority, the authority of a son. And he gave him new sandals, which in the scripture means that now you're also restored to share the good news yourself. Amen? The good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. So like we said, prodigal means wasteful. And I found that there are prodigal believers and even prodigal pastors. It's not just the ones that are out there. Some of us are here, but we might be a little wasteful. The church of the Galatians, if you remember, it says that even though they had been saved through grace, somehow he said, what has bewitched you? What turned you? You're back in the law. You're back living by works and applying works to everybody, and now you're under bondage again. What happened to you? And pastors too, they begin to make it about personality, about self-reliance, and you know, you're not just pastors, but ministers of all kinds. We begin to do things in our own strength. We begin to waste the grace and the Spirit of God in our lives. You know, so there's a lid of the prodigal in all of us here. But God is saying, this is the day to return. This is the day, you know, to get on fire for God. And by the way, I just want to point out that you know, this young man shows self-pity. You know, oftentimes we wallow in self-pity. And God's been telling me that there's five things, you know, that five behaviors that don't pay anyone, that don't help anyone. I'm just going to give them to you real quick. Self-pity, complaining, comparisons, self-reliance, and guilt. You know, if you just stay in that, it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't get God's attention. It's like, wow, you're really an amazing self-pity. I'm really going to help you now. You know? It's just basically saying, take your eyes off of yourself and put them on God. Take your eyes off of yourself and put them on God. So are you going to look up to him today? Look up to heaven, because he will run to you. He's already running to you. He's already making a way. Let me give you one more scripture, because I want to get to the ministry time. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. And you know this scripture, many of you, it's about the valley of the dry bones. It says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit, and the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" So God is telling the prophet, "I'm showing you this vision. You see all this bad situation, you know, people that are just away from my will. dry spiritually, dead. Can they live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. But then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to them, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to them, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. This is our flock. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. Feeling the faith rising up inside of you? Hallelujah. The dry bones represent two things. I want to say, one, those that are lost, like prodigals, but also lost dreams. There are lost dreams. Expectations that have not been met. One of the things that is surging as we pray and fast is that the prophetic is being energized. It's being released in this house. We're feeling the spirit of faith rising up. A few weeks ago, we discussed how hope is tied to the prophetic. God wants us to not ask anymore, will these bones live? He's saying, I've already prepared things. I'm going to expedite the delivery where it's no longer up to me. It's up to you. Will you speak it forth? Will we prophesy as a house over the lost sons of Israel, over the lost people of this house, your family members, the people in this community that need to hear the gospel? That is the lamp that we have here at Shiloh. I believe God is saying to us, if we will not preach the gospel, if we will not reach out to the lost, then we will lose our lamp. We have to. We have to get better at it. We have to be trained in it. You know, it's just like any muscle. You have to exercise it. We need to go out and get full of God first. Like the Bible says, you know, you will be baptized with the Spirit of God, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We cannot go out until we get things right in here. And that's why we're in the season of prayer and fasting. We're recommitting our hearts to the Lord. We're saying, God, we want the best to you. We want to be hungry for you. I don't just want to come to church every Sunday. I want to see your glory. In our spirits, there's something that's saying there's got to be more. Come on, people. If you're young or old, God's not done with you. Don't discount yourself. Hallelujah. This week, I've been chewing on the word of three prophets who were guests at Sid Roth's program at Supernatural. Anybody seen that show before? Okay, and so there was three prophets there, Chuck Pierce, Hank Kahneman, and Rich Vera. And I'm slightly familiar with Chuck Pierce. I wasn't really familiar with the other two. But I've just been watching this show. It's like an over an hour in length. And it's just prophetic words for 2018. Prophetic words for 2018. I recommend it if you guys are, you know, want to know what God is saying about 2018. Not just, you know, for America, but for the nations. I would suggest that you go in there and watch them. It's on YouTube. You can go to the It's Supernatural website. There's even an app. You know, we love our technology. There's this It's Supernatural app. And so there's some things, I'm not going to say everything that they said, but I want to point out some things that really spoke to me, you know, and I felt like God wanted me to share with you. Number one, expect not someday, but same day. That's why the title of the message is Expedited Delivery. Expect not someday, but same day. God is going to be answering prayers in this season, in this house. You have to be daring. You have to pray, okay? He also pointed out the scripture of the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And then look at this. It says, because there's a lot of craziness going on in the media. And so the Lord spoke to this. He said, and this is through Hank Kahneman. It says, media has been speaking loud. When my voice comes, it will be as the sound of thunder. You will not find rain. Look to the lightning. It says, there will be fascinations in the lightning. My voice is as lightning to strike down the witchcraft that has been holding cities, holding regions, territories, and even other things. And let me just say something about this. I really believe that there's a reason why there's been unprecedented losing of our children, you know, in this world, you know, where they're walking away from church. I really believe it's a work of witchcraft. You know, if you guys don't know, we battle not against flesh and blood. We battle against principalities. There's rulers in darkness that are going out there and just blinding this generation where the point that they can't even feel God's presence. There's something holding them back. But God is saying, I'm going to speak my word. And like Jesus said in the Gospels, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You know, he says it's going to strike and it's going to basically remove the witchcraft. And he's saying the following as well. I think I missed it. He's saying that also that you're going to begin to hear his word proclaimed, Yeshua, over the media in ways that you never thought possible. There's people that are going to recognize, I couldn't be here, you know, if it wasn't because of Jesus. You know, the people that are going to be humbled. Some people that have gone fame, you talk about sports, you know, celebrities of different kinds, says they're going to get to the point, they're going to be humble and say, you know what, it wasn't me that got me here, it was Jesus that got me here. You know, I began to do things on my own, but I'm coming back. Amen? And another thing he said, there are believers who are not coming to church because they're disenchanted. But he said they're disenchanted with the old skin. The old wineskin of the church. So he's saying the church must shift. The church must shift. Do you understand this? You know, we're not changing the message, but we got to make it relevant to this generation. God is taking care of, you know, the spiritual things that are governing over our cities, you know, so we can preach the gospel effectively, but we also got to make it, you know, palatable. We got to make it in a way that impacts people right where they're at. Amen? So we got to be willing to go whatever God's doing next in this house. Amen? And so I said, I was a little scared to share this. This is not me. You know, I was telling my wife, I think God's moving me into the prophetic. You know, and then I was getting up from my desk to get some coffee or something. And I said, Lord, do you really want me to share this? And he immediately popped Matthew 10:27 into my heart. And obviously, he didn't give me the reference. He gave me the words. He says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, he said, proclaim from the roofs. Proclaim from the roofs. So I felt, well, am I just trusting good old Sid Roth on this? So, you know, there's always this, like, hesitance. So I went to the website of Hank Kahneman. I said, like, I don't even know what this guy is. Well, I find out, number one, he's a pastor in Nebraska. And then I found out, guess what? They're doing a 21-day fast. And it begins the 8th of January, and it ends the 28th of January. So they're pretty much in sync with us. I think they're off by one day. We started the 7th, and we'll finish the 27th. They started the 8th, finished the 28th. So it was great that there's so many people in the United States and in the world who are in prayer and fasting with us. You better believe things are happening. So this is the word for you. The dry bones will not just assemble together. They will not just have tissue come upon them. They will not just have skin come upon them. They will not just have the breath of God. They're not just going to make it barely, like I said, into heaven. They're going to become a great army. They're going to become a great army. They're not just going to come into the kingdom, but they're a missing link in my work. I need them. I need them, God is saying. And so are you. He's saying he needs you. And this is the word for you. I believe that I cannot have you on the sitting on the sideline in 2018. You need to be in preparation mode for what God is doing. You need to get on the ball. You need to find your place. Let me say something about the vision of the house. We are developing a discipleship program, and we're going to release it later. And then I began to think, Lord, but it's not ready. What do we do now? But he said to me, if you will begin to move and serve and get well connected, he's going to prepare you supernaturally. Amen. Yes, we're going to build a program, but until that gets there, he said he's going to meet your needs. He's going to raise you up. He's going to fire you up. He's going to give you what you need. You're going to grow. You're going to, you love God more. You want to serve him more. Amen. He said to me, remember the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. He says, can I feed a multitude with them? Yes, I don't need a whole lot. So I hear same day. Hallelujah. So will you prophesy for something to shift, to change in your loved one's life, in your children's life? Will you do that today? In a little bit, I'm going to have the, a time for us to worship together at the altar. And I'm going to ask all of those of you that are praying for somebody who is lost. And I want you to come to the altar in a few seconds. And we're going to sing a song that I heard at Celebrate Recovery. It just rocked me. I was there on Friday just to check things out. And, and they're doing great things to Celebrate Recovery. I was very blessed, by them. The message, the fellowship, and then the worship time. These are songs I've heard on the radio, and for some reason, it never clicked. But I began to read the words on the screen, and it was a confirmation of the things that God had already been saying to me about prodigals, about dry bones coming to life. So I'm going to have a couple of different altar calls. I'm going to have one, obviously, for those that are praying for someone. But then I'm going to pray one for you if you're saying, I am that wasteful son. I have been kind of just, walking around but not really on fire for God. And I'm ready. I'm ready to come back to my Father's house and to be fully engaged and plugged in. This is the hour for the prodigals. This is the hour for the dry bones. Amen. So in order to do this, I think we're going to play the song twice, because one, I just want you to hear the lyrics, and then we're going to pray as it's playing the second time. Okay, so let's all stand up as we sing this, okay? Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. So, Mark, whenever you have it ready, if you want to play it. And I want to ask you if you could dim the lights a little bit. I want to make it really worshipful, really intimate, as we sing these words. Technical difficulties? Okay, well, that's fine. We're going to play here in a second. While we do that, can we play Come to the Altar? Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that now that you confirm the things that you have said, Lord God, Father. Lord Jesus, as we prophesy, as we speak, Lord God, into the spirit world, into the supernatural, Lord God, Father, that you are God. And Lord God, that it's the day of the prodigal. It's the day for the dry bones to come and to take the rightful place in the body. To not only be saved, but Lord God, Father, to become a part of a greater army that's going to bring about an amazing harvest, Lord God, in the United States and in the world, Lord God, Father. And Father, beginning with our city, Lord God, Father, we say, Lord God, yes. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. If you are praying for someone, would you just get out of your seat real quick? I want you to just come up to the altar as we sing this. Come on. Hallelujah.